We'll head back out to the Technicom hotline and welcome in, as promised, the head coach of your Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, is back with us on the Technicom hotline. Coach, it's been a while, buddy. I appreciate you making some time for me today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
That's good to have you back. Congratulations on the draft weekend. I know you guys feel pretty good about what you did over the weekend, and I'll get there in just a moment. But, you know, folks asking this morning about Luke Kuechly stepping away from the organization. I just wanted to give you a chance to comment on that and, you know, talk a bit about what Luke meant to the organization, but also, you know, kind of stepping away for those who might not or might need some clarification.
Yeah, I mean, I think Luke got to the end of the season and, you know, just – I think he recognized that he was ready to, you know, take some time for himself. I mean, this is a guy that poured his heart and soul into playing for so long, and then didn't really take a break after getting done playing. You know, jumped right into scouting and helped us a ton the first year. You know, as a pro scout, getting ready for other teams, got to pro free agency, and then, you know, I think just realized, like, hey, you know, I need to go take some time for me. So I can't, you know, I don't want to speak for Luke, but it was something that I fully supported. I'm grateful for what he did while he was here. You know, he's still my neighbor. He's, you know, he's someone that we expect to be around to be an ambassador for the program all the time. But, you know, he needs to go do some hunting and some fishing. You know, he needs to go do some time for him. And, you know, I think a lot of former players, you know, when they're done playing, especially if they play as long and as well as Luke did, you know, they deserve some time for themselves. And so, again, I'm not speaking for him. I just think he needs to go hit a blind, go hit the river, and then maybe pick it up again at some point.
That makes sense to me. Now take me through the weekend. And I've heard a lot of, we stuck to the board. And I like that you did that. But, you know, explain it for us. And I've heard that, you know, maybe Jimmy Johnson, a conversation that you guys had out on the boat when you were catching monsters out there on the ocean, might have factored in a little bit. I don't know if that's true or not. But what does it mean that you stuck to the board this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had players that we identified that we thought, you know what, this guy really fits us. And, you know, we put them in different rounds. And so when the opportunity came to trade back and you look at the board and there's still a bunch of players that you targeted and you say, hey, you know what, this guy's a really good player for the Carolina Panthers, then the risk is mitigated and the reward is there. And so, you know, we listened to every trade back offer at the beginning, willing to trade back even in the first round if we could get the right compensation. And so, you know, for a draft where we started off with 6 draft picks and then got 2 compensatories for the guys who left last year, had 8 to finish with 11, you know, that's especially with a 17-game season, every player is a little bit more depth, a little bit more youth that can maybe help us. And so I think it worked out perfectly, to be quite honest. We took some risks, but, you know, that's what you have to do if you want to be great.
Well, I think I understand what you did with the Brady Christensen pick, for instance. I see the athletic profile. I think that kid's got a bright future, and he's not a kid. He's a grown man with a child. But, I mean, talk me through that decision, that tough stretch there where you decided to trade back not once but twice, you know, and tackles start flying off the board. How confident were you then that you'd still get the guy that you wanted?
Yeah, we had like 3 or 4 guards and 3 or 4 tackles that we said, hey, you know what, those are guys that we really want to get, and we need to get at least one of them. And what's interesting is that, you know, Deontay Brown was in that group too. And so, you know, we felt like, okay, who are the guys that could be there? And Brady's somebody that we, you know, really early on, watching the way that he played, talking to his coaches, seeing what he did at his pro day, we just think he's going to play for a long, long time in the National Football League. And so, you know, we wanted to get picks. We saw that there was a group of guys there. We would have been happy with really any of them, but Brady's someone, you know, his athletic gifts and his maturity are really going to help us.
Matt Rhule, head coach of the Panthers, he's with us on the Technicom hotline. The coordination between you and Scott Fitterer over the weekend, what was that like? We're told that you guys already have a great relationship. You hit it off, but, you know, in terms of who was deferring to who and you know, who was having their hands on the steering wheel, how was that coordination over the weekend?
We work together. You know, I mean, Scott doesn't want to bring any players here that I don't want and, you know, or that the coaches don't want. And so, I think if you ask Scott, I think he would say he was really impressed with how hard our coaching staff worked. I mean, we haven't taken a lot of time off. We've worked really hard on this draft, And so, you know, we were armed with so much information. You know, if the draft started 8 o'clock at night, Scott, me, Evan Cooper, Pat Stewart, we were sitting in here at, you know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon watching tape for 8 hours, just going back through our decisions to make sure we were, you know, completely, wholly right on what we were. So I think it was a really well-oiled machine, but I would tell you that we just really worked together because we spent so much time watching tape together.
So round one, I talked to J.C. Horn this morning, really impressed by that kid. I want to get your thoughts on him specifically in just a second. But I know you don't want to talk about other players, completely respect that. But, you know, you had a chance to take a quarterback in the first round. You opted not to. That's a big vote of confidence to a lot of people in Sam Darnold. Is that how we should read that? And why should people here be confident in Sam Darnold's ability to lead this team?
Well, you know, I think when you go back and look at the track record of first-round quarterbacks, I mean, it is about as risky as anything. I mean, yep. You know, I think there's like in the last however many years, there's only a few that are left on the same team. And so, you know, and I'm a big believer a lot of that has less to do with the player and more to do with the situation they're walking into and all those different things. And so there were quarterbacks that we had rated really high and I believe are going to go on and have tremendous, tremendous careers. But Sam Darnold, you know, we brought him here for a reason. We think that he has had some really good moments as the quarterback of the Jets. He had a great connection with Robbie when Robbie was there. And you know what? I just think he sometimes needs a fresh start. And to me, it was either, you know, another quarterback or Sam plus JC. And that combination of either, you know, having a quarterback or having a quarterback plus another what we think is elite potential player, the math made sense for us to go with 2 versus 1. And so Sam's been here. You know, he's a hard worker, and I think he's really, really committed to this opportunity. He's 23 years old. I mean, I think he just turned 24 yesterday. He's the youngest quarterback in our quarterback room. I mean, he's really a guy that's just coming out in the draft right now. And so, you know, we believe in him.
So, well, and with that in mind, I've said over the past couple of weeks that just from where I sit, you know, you're tasked with maybe, you know, fixing Sam Darnold in the 6 inches between his ears and less so having to do with much that he does physically. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with anything, you know, between his ears, to be quite honest with you. I just think he was in a, you know, tough situation. Like, when you look at, you know, and again, I don't want to say anything negative about another team, but when I look at a player that's on a team that wins 2 or 3 games, I don't think you can attribute that to one guy. You know, I mean, I think that's just kind of all of us. And so I think, you know, when we sit here at the Carolina Panthers, you know, when Shaq Thompson walks in, when I walk in, we all bear the brunt of being 5-11 last year. We recognize it's a team game. And so I think Sam, you know, is going to come here. I mean, he's going to have McCaffrey back. He's going to have DJ. He's going to have Rob. He's got Ian Thomas, who we feel really good about. He's going to have some great weapons. It's a year two kind of as we install this offense, able to go back and really look and say, hey, what can our guys do well? I think Sam's just in a really good situation. And, the biggest thing for me is just I want him to get comfortable and grow. He doesn't have to go out the first game and be the best quarterback in the National Football League, and we all make a decision on whether it was a good decision or not. This is a young player that we just have to develop and grow and watch him grow as everyone else does. And so I think he's going to do it, and I think as coaches we're committed to making sure that we give him every opportunity to do it.
Matt Rhule, head coach of the Panthers, he's with us on the Technicom hotline. Matt, at what point did you lock in on J.C. Horn, and is he a day one starter in your defense?
You know, is he a day one starter? You know, we believe in competition. We have some veterans here that I would never put a young player over them. That being said, we know that he has the ability to come in and start from day one. So it'll be a good competition. You know, we feel like he is an elite corner. You know, at what point did we lock in on him? I think as we went through this process, we had other players that we really liked as well, but we knew that he was a special, special player. And so we knew that he's a guy that, you know, for a defense last year that we did some good things on defense, but we struggled to get off the field on third down, especially when Dante was hurt. If we have a healthy Dante Jackson, if we have J.C. Horn playing well, and then the veterans that we brought in free agency, you know, what was maybe a weakness last year can hopefully now be a strength. And, you know, that'll help. J.C. Horn, I promise you, will help our D-line play better. He'll help our linebackers play better. But he'll also help Sam Darnold and our offense play better by getting off the field on third down and giving us more possessions.
a couple quick things. I'll turn you loose. I know you got a busy day. But speaking of the secondary, what does that secondary look like, specifically the safety position? I know a lot of folks are excited to see maybe Jeremy Chinn back there. I mean, do you have a pretty good feel of what that might look like?
Yeah, I mean, we bring back Justin Burris. We were excited with him. Mm-hmm. A couple undrafted guys last year we thought did a really nice job in the secondary. Sam Franklin and Miles Hartsfield, who also played the nickel for us. And then, you know, Jeremy is somebody that we played as kind of like a nickel linebacker that would also go back and play some safety. I think he's a guy that we're still going to move around the field a lot, but probably playing a little bit more at safety. And so to have a big physical safety like him who can play deep and then also drop down in the box, to go along with, you know, the Reddick signing, you know, the Perryman signing, Jermaine Carter. I mean, I think we've strengthened ourselves at all three levels.
All right, the athleticism. Tommy Tremble, Chuba Hubbard, Davion Nixon, love that pick, by the way. Your emphasis on athleticism, and I know the RAS scores, or however you want to describe it, can you walk me through the emphasis on athleticism when it comes to building your roster? Because I do remember you at your introductory press conference, I think it was almost 2 years ago, saying that, look, we're always going to be fast on defense if I can help it. But athleticism seems to be what you focus on here. Walk me through that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, NFL players are great athletes. I mean, the best ones are the ones, you know, usually who run really fast, jump really high, have great change of direction, body balance. They're not always just the metric scores, but they show up, you know, they show up in all those areas. You know, you go back and look at Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly. Those guys were, I mean, they could have played tailback, and those guys were elite, elite athletes. Brian Burns is an elite athlete. So, That's a big piece of it. You know, the film's the most important thing, the way they play football. But we also want guys at all positions who are, you know, in the top 10% of their ability to move. And you combine that then with their medical grades. You know, a lot of guys we pass on because, you know, they've just had too many injuries and it's too much of a risk. And then we also factor in their intelligence, you know, and not just their, you know, school intelligence, but their football intelligence. And we test for all those things. So there's all these pieces of the puzzle that we go through to make sure, hey, this guy's going to be smart enough to do it. This guy's going to be healthy enough, you know, God willing. This guy's going to be a good player on tape, but he also has to be really, really athletic. And so, you know, when DJ Moore lines up, the corners that he goes against, they know that he runs 4-3 and he could potentially run right by you on any given play. And that's what we're looking for really at every position. Scary, scary athleticism.
Love it. Matt, I'll let you go on this. You I think are the youngest team on average in the NFL right now, and you got some dynamic pieces over there. What are your expectations for this team this fall? And I guess, you know, maybe by extension those become the fan base expectations. What do you need to see from your team this fall?
My life is that, you know, we want to be in contention every year to win the NFC South and go to the playoffs. And then when you get to the playoffs, you know, go try to make a run. And so, you know, we're in year two. You know, we're still pretty young. Can we do that? You know, we have to just not talk about it. We have to actually just go do it. But make no mistake, those are the expectations year in and year out, you know, to fight to win the NFC South, you know, to be in contention for it. And what I want is I want to come down the stretch in November and December into January being in contention. And, you know, we didn't do that last year. So let's take a step this year and get closer to that. So that's the expectation in our building, is that we're a team that is going to fight to make the playoffs and make a run every year. But you know what? Everyone has goals. so you know, goals are cheap. Talk is cheap. You know, we have to just put the work in and go do it. I think our scouting department did it in the draft. Now we'll hit OTAs and mini camp and really start to build this team. And, you know, can't wait to see the fans and everybody when we finally get to preseason and training camp and preseason games and get back to a normal NFL season.
Love it. Hey, and by the way, I've talked to a couple of your draft picks this morning. Really impressed with these guys. I mean, just smart young men, fun to talk to. But I got to say, Coach, I mean, you've only been here now for two drafts. Thomas Fletcher's draft day phone call, I don't know that you're going to top that the rest of your career. I'm not sure you're going to beat that one, Coach.
Yeah, that was a fun moment, and I was happy for him. You know, we set him up a little bit. Normally when we call, we say, you know, hey, we're going to draft you. Here's Coach Rhule. But we said, hey, Coach Rhule has a question for you. So we set him up a little bit, but it was fun, and I'm glad to see that people are enjoying it.
I love it. I know you're a busy man, Coach. We appreciate your time. Hopefully we can do this a lot more often as the season gets closer. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Take care now.